welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. I read to you Matthew 28, verses 1 through 7. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him the keepers did quake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. Christ had been crucified, his body buried in Joseph's tomb. The Sabbath was past, and it was breaking the light of the day on the first day of the week. Certain women were coming to the tomb where Jesus was buried. And while they came, there was an earthquake, and God's angel descended from his dazzling appearance and rolled away the stone from the mouth of the tomb. The entrance was now opened, where all could see that the place where had laid the body of Jesus was empty. No longer was the body of Jesus there. When the women arrived, they saw that the stone was removed and saw the angel. Luke mentions two angels. They were perplexed and afraid, bowing themselves to the earth. Their fears were increased when they noted that the body of Jesus was gone. The stress and the strain of the past 3 days and the intense hatred they had witnessed against Jesus was sufficient to arouse their worst fears as to the disposal of the body. But their fear was abated with the words of the angel, Fear not ye. He encouraged them not to be afraid. This greeting was customary of heavenly creatures as they would confront a frustrated and bewildered and frightened humanity. This was often the greeting of Jesus to his apostles and disciples. The women had come seeking the body of Jesus, but, not finding it, they were anxious. Actually, if they had found it, where they supposed it would be, we all could have fear. The absence of the body from the tomb is a cause for rejoicing, although these women did not so understand it just yet. The body gone is evidence that death no longer is the victor, nor does darkness and blackness await us. Fear, hopelessness, and despair are removed, and a joyful life beyond this one is assured for the faithful. Life does have meaning, and this life is not all there is to our existence. We're not the helpless victims of the wiles of Satan and the sufferers of torment. Is it not somewhat ironical that the absence of the body, which at first struck fear in the hearts of these women, is the first of many evidences God has given mankind of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? The empty tomb gives us courage and hope and strength and determination for victory through Christ. The angel said, I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. There was no doubt that they were there because of their love for the Lord. They came to show honor to the perfect one. But they really did not know him as they ought to have known him. Should they not have expected an empty tomb rather than a filled grave? Coming to put spices and ointment on a lifeless form had been their mission, but he was not among the dead. They sought Jesus at the wrong place. He was alive. Upon their ears fell the greatest announcement since the angels had declared the birth of Jesus nearly 33 or more years earlier. That's recorded in Luke chapter 2. He is not here. He is risen. Why seek the living among the dead? And we sing the glad chorus, Up from the grave he arose. Jesus had been sought many times prior to this. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 37, All men seek thee, Jesus was told. And during his life, his fame spread abroad because of his words and his work, particularly his miracles of healing. Messengers were sent to him to such an extent that he was often hindered from preaching. Multitudes gave him no rest. At his birth, Herod sought him, but only to kill him, Matthew chapter 2. And again in John 6 in verse 24, when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. In Mark chapter 3 records the time when his family came seeking him. The scribes, the Pharisees, and other enemies were constantly seeking him in order to take him and dispose of him. In John chapter 7 in verse 25, is not this he whom they seek to kill? And in the Garden of Eden, Jesus asked the leaders of the mob, whom seek ye? John 18 and verse 4. Yes, many had sought Jesus for various and sundry reasons, some honorable, some dishonorable. These women came seeking him out of love for the one who had blessed their lives. But they had come to the wrong place. And we too must seek Jesus if we please God and receive the rewards that God offers, Hebrews 11 and verse 6. We must seek deity with diligence. We must seek the living Lord. John's book records how he is the living bread of life and the living water of life. Hebrews 7 and verse 7 and verse 25 both affirm that he lives. He identifies himself in Revelation 1 and verse 18, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Because he lives, we can live this life with spiritual success, and we can live eternally with God in heaven. And the angel invited these women to examine the tomb, which was a mute witness to his resurrection. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. They could know for themselves and could tell it with confidence. Just so, we must come to the truth of the resurrected Christ for ourselves. But how can we know, seeing we have no tomb into which we can gaze? Friend, we can know and be certain by the evidence that is presented to us. Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. His resurrection was not the first evidence given to prove he's the Son of God. Why, Christ twice was personally confessed by the Father, this is my beloved Son. The signs, the miracles, the wonders had one prime message, Jesus is God's Son. The way he fulfilled the prophecies pertaining to the promised Messiah was additional evidence that he is God's Son. But the resurrection was the climactic, the superior, the indispensable, and the irrefutable evidence that Jesus is the Son of God. The empty tomb was before them. They became eyewitnesses of these things, as did the apostles who later ran to the tomb. And Peter said in Acts chapter 2 and verse 32, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. And Jesus said to Thomas, who at first doubted the resurrection, as recorded in John chapter 20, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. The angels reminded the women that Jesus had risen just as he said he would. We go back to Matthew chapter 12, verse 39 and 40. Jesus said, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And again in Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 and 23, he said, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised. And once more in Matthew chapter 20, and Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, and took the 12 disciples apart in the way, and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem. And the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock, and scourge, and crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. Now the startling events of those dreadful days had been foretold not only by Jesus, but by the prophets of old. Peter recalled in Acts chapter 2, 26 and 27, the prophecy of David, and how it referred to Jesus and his resurrection. In view of the abundant forewarning, we sometimes wonder why the disciples were not more expectant of the things that occurred rather than so completely amazed by them. And of course, from our vantage point, we might wonder, but they were still darkened in understanding, unable to yet grasp the full significance of these events. Doubtless, we would not have been any more alert to them than they were. We should join with glad hearts these faithful women, the apostles, and the others who gazed into the empty tomb as we remember the cry of the angels, "He is not here, he is risen." The women left the tomb, obviously troubled and shaken by this experience, but quite different from the way they came. They came in sorrow, but they left in joy to tell others. All they thought and said centered on the resurrection of Christ. Its meaning was that the hope and the assurance, the comforts, the promises the Lord had extended were certain, and upon them they and all human family can rely. Friend, when we realize the resurrected Christ, we can grasp the same significance as did they. God's plan for the redemption of man and eternal life was now complete. As Peter wrote, teaching the necessity of baptism to be saved, he attributed the power of salvation to the resurrection of Christ, 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. As the crucifixion paid the penalty for our sins, the resurrection confirms the hope of eternal life. And here is the basis for Paul's declaration that Christ is the hope of glory, Colossians 1 and verse 27. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.